He thought it was just love. She thought it was business. When Jacob, a 29-year-old software developer, met Anna at a college alumni mixer, he was drawn to her ambition, her intellect, and her innocence. She was finishing her degree, barely scraping by, and he offered to help. Rent, tuition, groceries. He paid for everything. In return, she gave him what he believed was real intimacy. Nights filled with passion, laughter, trust. But behind her angelic eyes and student debt was a camera. Hidden. Rolling. Repackaged and uploaded to a private members-only site under an alias. Every kiss. Every moan. Every secret. Monetized. By the time she graduated, Anna had paid off $137,000 in student loans. And Jacob, he was none the wiser until her media ethics professor recognized him on graduation day. This isn't a story about sex. It's a story about betrayal, voyeurism, and digital exploitation in the age of deep privacy erosion. How much of your life is truly yours when love becomes content? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Upload. Jacob Monroe didn't usually date younger women. At 29, with a well-paying tech job and a one-bedroom condo in a quiet corner of Atlanta, he had traded frat parties for podcasts, bar crawls for bourbon neat. But something about Anna pulled him in from the start. Maybe it was her ambition, maybe it was the wide-eyed way she looked at the world, or maybe it was the loneliness he didn't know he carried until someone touched it with intention. They met at a university alumni mixer. She was a senior, 23, journalism major, finishing her degree late after taking time off for family stuff. That was all she said. That was all he needed. She wore box braids, high-waisted jeans, and a thrifted blazer-like armor. Smart and sexy, in a way that made Jacob feel like she saw right through him, and wanted him anyway. What began as a conversation over drinks turned into a 2-month whirlwind of Friday night dinners, late night study sessions, and whispered pillow talk under cheap string lights in her campus apartment. Anna always needed something. Groceries. New hard drives for her media projects. Help with tech stuff. Jacob gave willingly, proudly. He liked being needed. He liked playing savior. He never once questioned her webcam cover taped over her laptop. Paranoia, she laughed. Journalist habit. You never know who's watching. He should have paid more attention to that line. Anna was broke, but calculated. By the time she met Jacob, her OnlyFans was already live. She wasn't famous, but she was consistent. She didn't show her face. She branded herself around authentic amateur experiences. And Jacob, with his soft hands, programmer's build, and genuine unscripted desire, he was perfect. She told herself it wasn't wrong. Not really. She never said she wouldn't film. She just never said she would. The camera, disguised as an air freshener on her nightstand, captured everything. The way Jacob undressed her like she was art. The way he whispered affirmations while he moved inside her. The way he held her after. All of it. The kind of raw, unfiltered tenderness that couldn't be faked. Each night became another clip, another upload, another $1,500 in subscriber tips. By the time midterms rolled around, Anna had cleared out her private loans from Sallie Mae. She didn't celebrate. She just watched the subscriber count climb and wondered how many more weeks it would take to cover her final semester. Jacob had no idea. He thought they were just navigating the quirks of a modern relationship. Anna didn't always want to go out. She preferred her room. Candles lit, R&B humming low, the blinds pulled shut. She didn't like it when he initiated too quickly. She always wanted to set the pace, choose the angle, even where he stood while undressing. He thought it was endearing, sexy even. What he didn't realize was that she was setting the frame. Literally. Still, Jacob was smitten. He brought her sushi on nights she crammed for media law. He edited her resume. He even bought her a Canon camera when she said she needed it for a documentary project. You're my favorite investor, she teased, curling into his side. He laughed. And what's my ROI? She kissed his neck. Me. Anna wasn't heartless, just desperate. She had grown up watching her single mom drown in debt, working double shifts at a clinic that paid barely enough to cover rent. College had been her ticket out, but the cost of independence came with compound interest, and Anna had no intention of leaving school shackled by five figures of loans she couldn't pay on a journalist's salary. So she got creative. She didn't see it as betrayal. She saw it as monetizing a resource. Jacob wasn't a victim in her mind. He was a partner, just an uninformed one. She never uploaded his full name, never showed his face directly. But she knew if he found out, it would break something she couldn't glue back. Still, the numbers kept climbing. $5,000 a week, $10,000 in 1 month. Every orgasm was a student loan payment cleared, every clip a class she could finally afford. The beginning of the end came 3 weeks before graduation. They were at her apartment, celebrating. She had just submitted her final thesis on the ethics of digital storytelling. Jacob brought champagne. She wore nothing but one of his t-shirts. They made love for what felt like hours, Anna guiding him into the perfect rhythm, framed perfectly within the camera's wide lens. That night, she uploaded it under the title, Final Exam, Honors Cum Laude. It went viral. Subscribers quadrupled in a day. The comments exploded. Best amateur vid I've seen all year. I swear I know that guy. Who's the dude? He looks like my coworker, lol. She ignored them at first, but the views wouldn't stop. 1.3 million in 3 days. Then came the message. Subject, recognition risk. The sender, anonymous. The message, a cropped photo of Jacob's face, mid-thrust, side profile. Pretty sure this is your guy. You might want to pull this before someone from real life sees it. Or don't. Up to you. Anna's stomach dropped. She took the video down. But it was too late. Someone had already saved it. Graduation day arrived like a thunderclap. Jacob came dressed in a crisp navy suit, tie matching her maroon gown. He held her hand proudly as they walked through the auditorium, smiling like a man who believed he'd helped a woman achieve her dream. She was moments from walking across the stage when it happened. Professor Klein, mid-50s, tweed blazer, adjunct with a background in investigative journalism, paused mid-handshake. His eyes narrowed. Anna, he said slowly, leaning close. Is your boyfriend, Jacob Monroe? Works for Halberd Tech? Jacob extended his hand, confused but polite. Yes, sir, that's me. Klein didn't shake it. Instead, he said something that didn't register until hours later. You might want to have a talk with your girlfriend about digital ethics, especially around consent. Jacob didn't understand. Not then. Not during the ceremony. Not during dinner. Not even when Anna grew cold and distant. Her responses clipped, her laughter hollow. It wasn't until that night, when he Googled Jacob Monroe video out of paranoid curiosity, that he found the Reddit thread. Is this guy from the final exam video on OnlyFans? I swear I just saw him speak at a tech conference. Followed by screenshots. Blurred, but unmistakable. His profile. His back. His voice. He called her my sunshine. Listen at 6:42. Jacob's world collapsed. He didn't scream. He didn't call. He just walked out of his apartment at 2 a.m. and drove with no destination. The kind of numbness that eats through bones settling into his chest. Somewhere along the drive, the betrayal turned to rage. He pulled over, opened his laptop, and searched for the account. Gone. Scrubbed clean. But the mirrors, pirated re-uploads, still lived. Dozens. Maybe hundreds. She had filmed him, sold him, and used the profits to fund her future. When Jacob returned the next morning, Anna was on his couch, curled up in his hoodie, pretending nothing was wrong. He stared at her, silent. She stood. Jacob, he interrupted. How much did you make off me? She froze. His voice sharpened. Don't lie. Anna's lip trembled. Six figures. He laughed, broken. You turned me into pawn. And I didn't even get a cut. She didn't cry. She didn't deny it. Instead, she said the one thing that made him physically recoil. You were beautiful on camera. He left. But it wasn't over. Not yet. Because Jacob wasn't just a man scorned. He was a software developer with a specialty in metadata, search engine optimization, and AI-assisted facial tracking. And if Anna thought she'd buried her tracks, she had no idea what he was about to dig up. Chapter 2. The Revenge Algorithm. Jacob didn't sleep. Instead, he stayed up in front of three monitors, fingers moving like a surgeon, stitching together digital nerve endings. His eyes were bloodshot, his breath sour, but his brain was clear, hyper-focused. Anna had humiliated him, turned his most intimate moments into currency, and smiled in his face like it was love. But he wasn't going to scream into the void. He wasn't going to post angry TikToks or send empty threats. He was going to burn her entire online empire to the ground, methodically, quietly, without ever laying a hand on her, because the internet never forgets. And neither would he. He started with what he knew, file architecture. Anna thought she had hidden her identity by avoiding facial reveals and scrubbing her online persona, but she had made a mistake, a common one among amateurs, leaving metadata intact. Her Canon camera, the one Jacob had bought her, embedded timestamps, GPS logs, and serial numbers into every raw file. Those videos, even once compressed and uploaded, carried digital fingerprints. Jacob used a custom scraper to pull down 138 mirrored copies of Anna's videos across third-party platforms and piracy sites. From there, he ran a batch analysis to extract embedded EXIF data. She filmed most of the footage in her apartment. The metadata confirmed it. But the real goldmine was one early clip, shot in a hotel. The GPS coordinates pointed to a Red Roof Inn, booked under Anna's real name, with her student email address. The reservation record was still accessible via a backdoor vulnerability in the hotel's outdated booking system. That was all he needed. Next came the paper trail. Anna had transferred her OnlyFans income through Stripe into a dummy LLC named Orion Creative Media. Jacob found the incorporation record in less than 10 minutes, registered in Delaware using a mail forwarding service in Philadelphia. He cross-referenced that address against her school application data. Boom. Same zip code her aunt used as an emergency contact. He wasn't just building a revenge plan. He was constructing a case. Jacob created a fake Twitter account and reached out to a small but influential media ethics blogger, Etoria Truth. He sent encrypted screenshots, metadata trails, proof of non-consensual filming, proof of income derived from private sexual recordings. She responded within an hour. "Is this real?" he replied. She wrote her thesis on consent in digital journalism. This is her final project. Spread the word. Toria took the bait. By morning, her Substack ran a headline that went viral. Journalism student accused of secretly monetizing partner's intimacy without consent. It didn't name Anna, but it didn't have to. Anna woke up to a storm. Her Instagram DMs were flooded. Her Twitter was suspended. Her inbox pinged with questions from classmates, professors, even strangers. She didn't know where it was coming from until she saw the post from Etoria Truth and the screenshots and the GPS data. She vomited into the toilet, hands shaking. It was like watching her world collapse in real time. Then came the email. Subject: royalty invoice. From Jacob Monroe. Attachment: statement of unpaid earnings. PDF. It was styled like a business invoice. It listed every video clip, the duration, the estimated revenue share, and a demand for 50% back payment. The final line read, total owed, $67,400 due. Immediately remittance via public apology or direct wire. Your choice. She screamed and threw her laptop across the room. But Jacob wasn't done. He uploaded a private video, not to porn sites, but to Vimeo. Password protected. He sent the link to Anna's academic department, along with a note. Attached is evidence that your graduating senior violated university policy by monetizing non-consensual intimate media involving another student and submitting academic work rooted in hypocrisy. By the time she arrived on campus that day, Anna had been summoned by the dean. What you did, the dean said, voice firm, is a violation of both the student conduct code and multiple state privacy statutes. We're placing a hold on your diploma until this is resolved. Anna stared in disbelief. I already walked, she said weakly. The dean didn't blink. You walked, but you haven't graduated. Anna tried to call Jacob. No answer. She emailed him. Subject: please stop. Message: I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please. No reply. She sent him a voice note. Her voice was shaking, no makeup, tear-streaked. You don't understand what I was up against. The debt, the pressure. I thought if I could just make it through school, I could come clean and fix things. I loved you. Maybe I still do. Please don't destroy me. He watched it twice. Then, deleted it. It wasn't about love anymore. It was about consent. About reclaiming the parts of himself that Anna had stolen, uploaded, and turned into revenue streams. Jacob knew he couldn't undo what had already spread, but he could make sure she never made another dime off of him. He filed a civil suit. The claim, unauthorized commercial use of private likeness. He submitted screenshots, transaction logs, and metadata as evidence. Anna couldn't afford a high-end attorney, and once the case hit the court docket, her future employers started pulling offers. By July, 3 internships had rescinded her acceptance. By August, she had moved out of Atlanta entirely. 6 months later, Jacob sat alone in a coffee shop, laptop open to a draft blog post titled, "The Woman Who Sold Me, How I Got Turned Into Pawn Without Knowing." He hadn't published it. Not yet. Maybe he never would. The revenge was complete. Anna's empire was gone. Her OnlyFans was suspended. Her academic record now had an asterisk next to her name, under disciplinary review. Even the LLC she created was dissolved under threat of legal action. And Jacob? He had gone through therapy, changed apartments, installed his own webcam cover, and finally, slowly, started dating again. But something in him had changed. Because no matter how digital the world became, trust, real trust, was still analog, fragile, vulnerable, and some lines, once crossed, couldn't be unseen. Epilogue. Anna eventually relocated to Miami and tried to start fresh. She told people she was a content consultant, but never gave details. She kept a low profile. No public profiles, no videos, no face. But somewhere in the dark alleys of the internet, her past lived on. A viral folder, a leaked link, a whisper from a former subscriber, and every now and then she'd get an email. "You're the girl from Final Exam, right?" She never replied, because for all the money she made, for all the debt she erased, Anna had paid her student loans, yes, but not the price.